this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Thank you so much for being here this evening and just bearing with us while we just do the most important things. I want to share a few verses of scripture with you tonight, and as I was preparing and praying for the service, I really felt the Lord is wanting to just download a lot of scripture, all right, tonight into our spirits. I would like you just to open up your hearts, open up your minds for just the washing of the word. And we are in Isaiah 54, sort of the theme of what the Lord has been sharing with us as we were getting into 2013, as He was busy just preparing our hearts for what is to come. And I would just like to continue with us. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these verses for us again. Sing, O barren one, ye who did not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, ye who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth, he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. This is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agate, your gates of carbuncles, and your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. If anyone stirs up strife, it is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, God, and we thank you that your word is indeed life to our souls. Lord, it's the daily bread that we need. And Father, I pray that this evening, God, as you have already spoken to us so powerfully through the worship and through the words of confirmation, that the Logos word that we are reading, Lord, will be emblazoned by your Holy Spirit upon our hearts so that it becomes the rhema that changes us. We acknowledge, Lord, that the letter kills, but it is the Spirit that brings life. And so I pray this evening, Lord, let my words be few and let the words of your Spirit be revealed to us. May we not just be encouraged, Lord, or stimulated in some way tonight, but may we be renewed, Lord God, so we can be truly transformed into the image of Christ. In Jesus' name. We spent a few days this weekend, these past few days, just praying around this verse and just trusting the Lord to speak to us while we were fasting. And I just want to give an opportunity to two people just to come and share quickly just something from the fast that stands out from you that the Lord maybe just highlighted to you in your spirit, and just a word that sort of you felt was really like a word for the church and for the congregation. So any two people, if you can just quickly come and just share what has blessed you about it, and just the word that the Lord impressed upon you. Anyone?
One thing that came through quite strongly was that the Lord has really added strong individuals in this congregation, and really people with a lot of gifts and a lot to give. And we really felt like in this season, in this time, that we're going to fit into the places that God had appointed us to be. And we're going to flourish, and there's going to be fruit that's going to come from our labors, you know, our labor individually. And just, it was so cool to confirm it. I spoke to a friend who's actually, she goes to intercession in the Shofar Stellenbosch congregation. And she 2 weeks ago felt she needed to pray for Shofar Joburg out of her own. And the two words that she sent to me were the fact that God has sent strong individuals and people really with a lot to give. And that in this season, we're really going to flourish and good fruit's going to come. So it was exactly what we'd been fasting and praying for, which was such a blessing of confirmation from God.
Thanks, Laura. Sinead?
While we were just standing in front of the building, the God just gave me this word, and it's out of Ezekiel 36. Just before that, I actually had a vision of ground just breaking and being tilled over. And it just slots in with what Lauren was saying of flourishing. But you, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are soon to come home. For behold, I'm for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you, the whole house of Israel, even all of it. The city shall be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt. Just till then.
Thanks, Sinead. What was really incredible was just the many different confirmations the Lord brought as to the season that He's taking us into. And we really feel that going into 2013 is not just the moving over into a new chronological year. In other words, not just a chronos time, but it's a kairos time for us. In other words, it's an appointed time, a divine time that the Lord has destined for us to leave behind certain old things and to move into the new things. And in order for us to walk into that and to facilitate the process of renewal, to facilitate the process of breaking with shame, breaking with the past, breaking with old things, is to make a physical change as well. All right, and so this weekend we were praying in Roosevelt High School in Roosevelt Park, just opposite the Botanical Gardens. And we're trusting the Lord to very soon, within the next 2 or 3 weeks, to make a physical move there from this venue to that venue. Okay, and while we were there, we were just amazing, the confirmations and the excitement in the hearts of so many people about the opportunities the Lord is giving us to partner with that school, to partner with the children there, to partner with the teachers there, to partner with the parents there, and to really impact that community for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was amazing was so many people who have to drive a lot further now were actually the ones who really came up to me and said, this is absolutely God's will. This is absolutely what God is saying. And I was so encouraged by that, because it shows that there's unity and there's agreement in the Spirit. So we are incredibly thankful for the 5 years or so that we could be here in this venue. And we're thankful to the Lord for what He's done and the growth that He's added to our lives in terms of character and in terms of foundation. But we believe now it's a time to give. And we believe it's a time to move, and it's a time to really get strategic where the Lord wants us to be. And we're excited about the opportunities for partnership with some of the teachers and the staff there who have a heart for the Lord. While we were praying there, just some of the guys felt the Lord says that it's a thin place. It's like a term we use to refer to a place that really has an open spiritual atmosphere above it, where we can really connect with the Lord. And we really felt that. And chatting to a few guys, they said, it's just weird, but it feels like home. And so we're excited about that. We will give you a lot more details. So watch Facebook, please. You'll get SMS, you'll get emails. We'll talk about it in the small groups. We'll have the dove delivered to you. Just all sorts of ways, okay, to let you know when we will be moving, what time we will be moving towards. It will be a morning service, okay, so we'll let you know about the times and the exact dates. But next week Sunday, we are still here, okay? Next week Sunday, we are here, all right? Cedar Park, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're here. Don't go to Roosevelt High. You will have a prayer meeting all by yourself, okay? Come here. And we had a wonderful time praying with the guys from Shofar Pretoria, which is incredible to pray with our family over there as well. And so if we go to verse 1, I want to highlight just one or two points before we move on. And that is, the Lord has been speaking to us and He's been saying to us, guys, Peter has just been confirming it, is that we need to be singing. All right, we need to, in the season that we're going into, this year that we're going into, we need to be very deliberate and we need to have clarity in our minds about the role that praise and worship plays in our lives. It is not something casual. It's not something that we can be unsure about. It is something we need to make a quality decision about. It's like when you want to get married, you need to decide that I'm going to get married. So you change the way that you look and you prepare and you read up on books and you pray and you prepare to be the best man and best woman that you could possibly be. You're deliberate about it. You are actively working towards it. You are trusting the Lord. You're stepping out in faith. You're doing certain things. And with praise and worship, we must treat it as part of our daily bread. It's part of our daily bread. Sunday is not just good enough. We need to daily start our days in praising the Lord. Singing, declaring who God is, moving away from our circumstances, and taking Him upon His word. And so the increase in the anointing in the worship, guys, is going to increase. I want you to come with an excitement to see that the Lord is going to change us as we worship Him. I want you to come with an expectation for shackles to be released. And I want you to, if you're still thinking about joining the band, just stop thinking and just act on it, okay? The Lord is going to come and He's going to strengthen you. So many people have come already. We're thankful for that. I really know the Lord has placed a great anointing upon our congregation as far as the praise and worship is concerned. Okay, we're going to take you to the streets. We're going to take you to the campus. We're going to take you to the different congregations in our region where the Lord leads us. We're going to take it up onto the mountaintops, the kopjes here around Johannesburg, and we're going to declare His praises. We're going to shout His praises wherever the Lord places us. All right, so I want you to just remember that and keep that at the back of your minds. And where verse 2 says, enlarge the place of your tent, that is what we're doing. All right, so I want you just to know that and to understand that the venue move has got everything to do with us saying, God, we're creating capacity for you. We're creating capacity for the families to come in the morning time slot that suits them, because you've said that you want us to be a church of families. You want us to be a church where we have the little ones and we have the not so little ones. We have the young ones and the little older ones and then the very advanced ones and etc. All right? Till the very ripe old age, okay, where people can't see anymore, but they're still praising the Lord and still worshiping. That is part and parcel of what the Lord has for us. He said that in His last days, He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, young and old. All right? And so what we're saying to the Lord is, God, we wanting to position ourselves so that those families can come in, so the youth can come in, so that the older people can come in. And we all know that those over 35 are immensely old. very experienced, shall we put it that way. Okay. And so we spoke to each other about the fact that the Lord wants to prosper us, but we need to position ourselves. And I challenge you guys to think about that. If you are serious about God blessing you, if you are serious about God's promises, are you changing something in your life? Or are you waiting for God to come and do it before you change? Like when we fall pregnant, again, the royal we, when we fall pregnant, we start buying things, right? We start painting the walls of the new room and we start changing things and decorating things and thinking about names. We start creating space for the promise to be fulfilled, even before the promise physically manifests, because we believe the promise to be true. We believe it to be true. Right? And so if the Lord has told you that He's got an anointing upon your life to lead people into healing, or He's got an anointing upon your life to employ many people, He's got an anointing upon your life to reach out to the widows and the orphans, then you cannot wait to be zapped by that anointing. You need to step out and need to do something. You need to start the ministry if the ministry isn't existing already. You need to get people together and pray with them. You need to get people who have that anointing to slap some oil on you and pray for you. Okay, if you desire the prophetic or you desire a gift that you see in somebody, don't be envious. Go to them and say to them, lay your hands on me because I want that. All right? But be serious about the promises of God. It is not the season for complacency. That's what those verses are talking about. It says, break forth. Cry aloud. Don't mumble. Don't murmur. It says, break forth. Cry aloud. In other words, take possession, take hold of what God has for you. Grab it. It is yours, but you have to grab it. And the beautiful picture of grabbing something is what we found with that woman that was suffering from the issue of blood for years. A crowd was around and she pushed through that crowd to get to Jesus. She said, excuse me, I need to get to Jesus. And some of us need to do that through our praise and through our worship, through our obedience. Push the obstacles away, push the circumstances away, and say, here I am, God. Use me. I want to be part of what you're doing in this day and age. Okay, so verse 4 says, fear not, you will not be ashamed, you will not be confounded, you will not be disgraced. You'll forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You'll remember no more. We've got a legacy coming up soon. Guys, I want to encourage you. All right, if you haven't done legacy yet, or maybe you have, it's a weekend we take just to talk about some of that stuff, the stuff from our past that wants to hold us back, that wants to define us, that wants to limit us, that wants to keep us in bondage and in fear. A weekend is not a lot in terms of the rest of your life. Come and invest it. Say, God, I'm wanting to come. I'm wanting you to shine your light on me. I don't want to perpetuate the mistakes of my forefathers. I want to be different. I want the change to start with me. I'm going to stop blaming people. I'm going to stop pointing the finger. I'm going to say, God, the buck stops here. And if the Lord has touched you and he has done something in your life, come and facilitate. Come and pray. Come and lay your hands on the people there. Okay? But the promise is for us that he wants to remove the shame. He wants to bring us into a time of abundance. And I was thinking about this and over the weekend and just during this week about what does it mean to be set free from shame. And the more I read those verses, and I want to encourage you to meditate upon it, time and time the Lord says that he's going to remove the shame from us. He's going to remove it. He wants us to sing. He wants us to have an expectation because he's going to remove it from us. He's going to set us free from it. We will not remember the shame anymore. And then as I read through that chapter, I realized that chapter 54 in Isaiah, obviously, comes after chapter 53 in Isaiah. And I thought about, why don't you go and read what chapter 53 says? And so let's read what chapter 53 says. And this was so amazing because it is exactly what I believe the Lord is wanting to say to us as we just focusing on him. Isaiah 53 verse 1 to 2. Just go down the slides. All the way down. It's just after one that says Hebrews 2 verse 14 to 15. I'm going to start reading for you guys, okay? It says, who has believed our report? Isaiah 53 verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And as I started reading that chapter, I realized, hang on, there's actually a key here that the Lord is wanting to reveal to us about the breaking of the shame, the setting free from shame and from the shackles of fear. And so often we read verses like Isaiah 54 that says, you are going to break forth and you are going to increase and you will not remember the shame of your youth anymore. And then we think, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to do in order to facilitate this? What do I need to do in order to get to that place? Then I come and I say that you need to prepare. You need to give the Lord an indication that you're ready. And so often we can then fall back into works. And the mind goes, okay, so I need to do this. And it's actually saying, join the band. This is a band joining campaign. It's actually looking for more kiddies church people. Or all these things that go off in our minds as to what will it take for us to be free from shame. Because we have been conditioned to believe that the harder we work, the freer we will become. We have elevated hard work in our society to the ultimate idol, so to speak. It's part of our legacy. That it's a blessing as well, that the blessing of hard work. But we have put such a lot of emphasis upon our responsibility that we forget that when the Lord comes in through the prophet Isaiah, he says that he will deliver us from shame. He will have the shackles fall from our feet. Then in actual fact, that was a prophecy that was referring to someone who would come and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And Isaiah 53 speaks about that. And so the singing, the rejoicing, the fact that we do not need to have shame define us, it's got nothing to do with us making a mental shift. It's got nothing to do with us now just thinking differently necessarily. Being more determined. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do with what you still need to do And it's got everything to do what has already been done. And unless we dig deep into that, we will once again lose this word in the hustle and bustle of doing stuff. We will move to a new venue and you will all get excited and different people will volunteer and do different things and we will have an incredible time and we will expand to the left and the right as the Lord says, and soon we will be too big for that venue and we'll have to have another service and we'll have service and be incredible and amazing. But we can lose what the Lord is saying. And He emphasized this to us last night. Right at the end, after we've prayed everything, He came back to us and He said, do not forget me. Do not forget me for who I am. That He has this, and I was flabbergasted by this. I was like, God, you mean to say to me that the Lord of the universe has a need to know that we will put Him first, has a desire to know, in actual fact, is making Himself so vulnerable that we can hurt Him in a sense. That with everything that He can do, with all the power at His disposal, He needs to know, like the husband needs to know, that the wife is with Him in this relationship because of Him. Because of who He is. And not because of what He can give her primarily. That it is a relationship based upon intimacy. Based upon, I love you for you. Not for the fact you drive the latest car or you have all this potential locked up in you and I can see where you're going with the band or I can see where's the next Heinrich or whatever. But I love you for who you are. And if you never ever change, I'm still going to be as excited about you as I am right now. That's a good test to know whether you love the person or whether you're just in love with their potential. If you're loving somebody for who they can become, then 10 to 1, that isn't real love. But if you love them for who they are, irrespective of whether they're ever going to change, then there's something in there. Then there's something in there that says, for better or for worse. Irrespective of how long worse lasts. With God, there comes a time in our lives when the Lord says, I need to know that you are with me even in the worst. Even when things do not make sense to you. Even when it seems like you're hitting your head against this brick wall time after time again. And what I sense in my heart, the Lord just say to us, that we've been through that. That so many of you in this room have been saying to God, God, I don't understand. God, it doesn't make sense, but God, I love you. I'm here for you. Take me. And I want to encourage you with that. And I believe the Lord is proud of that. And He says that He can save by the many or by the few. And that there are hearts here that are circumcised to the Lord and to the Lord's purpose, not because this is an easy environment, not because this is a comfortable environment, but because you are here because you sense that God is here. And that makes all the difference. You are pursuing Him, not a program, not a specific corporate culture or type or style of singing. You are pursuing God. And because you are sensing Him speaking and Him moving, you're saying, God, I just want to be where you are. That's where I want to be. And I believe that we need to, well, we have made that commitment last night. We said that to the Lord. God, whether it's that venue or whichever venue, whether it's with a small band or a big band, whether it's with a massive children's church or a small children's church, doesn't matter. God, as long as you are in this, that's where we will be. We will follow you wherever you lead us. And then the incredible thing is that Jesus comes, God confirms to us that our deliverance and our freedom from our past, again, does not lie in what we're going to do for Him, but lies in what He has done for us. And so I'm going to read this chapter for you guys. I know it's a chapter that we have heard so many times, preached right throughout our lives maybe. But I want you to listen to this, and I want you to know and to understand that this is your reality. I don't know which reality you're finding yourself right now. I don't know what is sort of militating against God's purpose and against God's glory and against God's joy in your life. But I want you to bring that now into submission to what God is saying over your life. What is your key to freedom? What is your key to deliverance? What is your key to joy? And that key isn't a thing, it's a person. Amen. And so let me read this for you guys again. We're going to go from verse 1. And I just want you to close your eyes, all right, and just listen to this. It says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For He, speaking of Jesus, shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And Lord God, I thank you that, Lord, as you have come to speak to us about the fact that you do not desire for us to be victims to shame. You do not desire for us, Lord, to be held captive by past experiences. That the reason why we can't walk free from that, God, is because the shame didn't just disappear into thin air. The shame didn't just vanish. But that shame was taken off our shoulders, was put upon Jesus. And you carried our shame on our behalf, Lord. Thank you that you were despised and you were rejected so that we do not have to walk around feeling despised and rejected. God, I thank you for the hearts here tonight that have been despised. As someone here in a very close relationship, you looked into the eyes of the other person and it's like you saw these arrows. It's like fiery arrows, literally. It's the first time you saw this, of just absolute hatred. Like they thought you were something the dog carried in, and it caught you by such surprise, yet you felt completely vulnerable and naked. And those eyes, it's like that stare is still following you. And when you look into the mirror, you see those eyes looking back at you that despises you, despises not so much what you are doing, but who you are. And the Lord is wanting to say to you that Jesus took upon himself that hatred. He was despised. He was rejected by the people that he loved and by the people that he wanted to bless, and he wanted to just give his heart to them. He was despised by them. And I just sense that you were in this relationship to bless. You were in this relationship to give your best. And then this thing came against you. And I just sense the Lord is saying it was a generational thing that came against you to just really hurt you and emasculate you. It seems like a man. And it happened to you while you were quite a bit younger than you are now, but it left an imprint on you. You are doubting your masculinity. You are doubting whether when push comes to shove, whether you will be able to man up. And there's this voice inside of your head that just keeps saying to you that you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You shouldn't have been here. And Father, thank you, God, that I can come and just, Lord, speak the healing of Jesus. Speak the healing of the cross over my brother's life. And I thank you, Lord, that you raise him up today, God, into true masculinity, God. He doesn't have to prove it. He doesn't have to try and earn it. He doesn't have to showcase it, God, but he can just walk in the identity that you have given him, Lord. The freedom with which you have set him free in Christ. In Jesus' name. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, you shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. And I believe that what the Lord wants us to do this evening is very simple. It's simply just to say to the Lord God that we believe that your cross, and it's like a simple message, I know. And it's one that we know so well. But say, God, that your cross is enough for me. Your cross is enough for me. It is my deliverance. It is my freedom. It's not something that needs to happen one day. You already came and you bought me. You already came and, you know what, Jesus could just simply have come in day and age where he would just have been electrocuted and died. And that would have been good enough, because the penalty for sin is death. The penalty for sin isn't dying on a cross and suffering like that. So Jesus came not just to deliver you from the penalty of sin. He came and he suffered in a very specific way to bring you the healing that you need. He was despised. He was wounded. He was rejected so that you do not have to carry that. You do not need to carry that. And as I was praying, I just sensed the Lord is saying that I need to say this over and over and over again. You do not need to carry that shame. It is not yours to carry. You do not need to carry it. It has been carried on your behalf already. He was despised. He was wounded. He was rejected. He was beaten to a pulp. He was spat upon for you. The chastisement, the punishment for your peace is not you fasting longer and praying harder. The punishment and the chastisement for your peace was upon Jesus. He paid the price. And I'm challenged by the simplicity of that. I'm challenged by the simplicity of that message. Do I believe it? Do I believe that the cross of Jesus is enough? Do I believe that Jesus did all that he came to do for me, to set me free? And I'm going to invite you to stand with me, and we're going to sing that song, Jesus, You've Won Me. And I want us to, and we're going to go over into Amazing Grace, guys. And I want you to make it a very personal song. Jesus came not to win the guy next to you and behind you, in front of you only. He came to win you. Whatever prison it is, whatever thing is trying to hold you back. And I had this image, we can just all stand. I had this image in my spirit of a few of us, and you caught in this prison, like in this very dastardly place in South America somewhere. It's in the prison break and DVD. You know, and you are fearing for your life. You're in that place and there are all sorts of guys, they're torturing you and manipulating you and blackmailing you. And you're making all these schemes and all these plans to get out of this prison. You know, if I can only get the map, and you're trying to decipher this map, and then one person comes to you and says to you, this is the way out. Just dig here. Another guy comes to you and says that this is the God you need to bribe. This guy, he's your key. If you can just get into his favor, if you can just win his approval, he will make life easier for you. And you've actually gotten to the place where you're wanting to just now have a sort of not die in the prison. If you can just make it to the end of your prison sentence, okay, then you will be happy. And I just sense that the Lord is saying, but why are you still in that prison? The doors are wide open. He has set you free. You actually have the authority to walk out of that place. To say to that God, listen, buddy, get out of my way. I don't belong here. I've been set free. There is a way that has been made for you, and the blood has made that way to enable you to just walk out of that freely. You don't have to blast your way out of it. You don't have to like connive and scheme. You don't need somebody with a helicopter to come and airlift you out of it. The Lord wants to infuse some authority into you tonight to say, get behind me, Satan. demons, I'm not going to sit around and have a pity party with you anymore. I'm going to allow you to just use my brain as a garbage bin for all your nonsense and all your lies. This is the mind of Christ, and I'm putting up a no trespassing sign over my mind. So with all your lustful thoughts, take you to hell. My brain, my mind, is holy ground. Let's close our eyes. Jesus, thank you that you've come to lead us. And as a shepherd who comes to his sheep, I want to thank you that just in a very simple way, you are here this evening to lead us, to take us by the hand. And Holy Spirit, thank you that Jesus gave us the promise that you would be our paracletos, that you would be the one that comes alongside of us, that walks with us. And we thank you that you have opened up the prison doors for us, Lord. So many of us experienced incredible freedom over the last few weeks, Lord. But there are also some of us who have this nagging suspicion in our hearts that this is just one of those being revved up months again, and it's going to just fizzle out. I'm going to lose my way again. But Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here to lead us, to guide us into the freedom for which Jesus has set us free. Thank you for the freedom, God, we can experience. I want you just to raise your hands. It's where you're standing. And so I want you just to start thanking the Lord for freedom. It's an area in your life that is keeping you bound or just frustrating you. And since there are a few of us here, it's not massive things, you know, it's not like big sin, but just like little frustrating things that costs you so much momentum. And the Lord is wanting to, it is wanting to like lift you up tonight. Cause you to soar over those things. But just thank Him for the freedom. Thank Him for the cross. Your freedom isn't just a month from now. It's not just when the thing finally happens. Your freedom has happened already. You just need to enter into it. You just need to thank Him for it. And that's why worship is so powerful. That's why praise is so dynamite in its essence. Because you acknowledge the truth over your life. You acknowledge the reality and the truth over your life. You don't agree with your circumstances. You don't agree with your emotions. You agree with the power of the cross. That your sin, your shame, your generation's shame, your forefathers' shame and sin, it has all been put on Jesus. He carried it, and it ultimately broke His heart so that you can have a whole heart, so that you can walk in with boldness into the presence of God. It's a boldness that he is holding before us, and that He's wanting to release us over us, to trust Him, to speak in faith. So just thank Him, just where you're standing. God, we honor you. We thank you for the freedom. If you can pray in the Spirit, I would like you just where you're standing, just to pray in the Spirit. You're not talking to the guy next to you. You're not talking to your neighbor. You're talking to God. You're praying. No limitations on how we can pray. And pray in your own earthly language, then do that. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, just shows me this picture of a, I believe it's a word for a lady. You're this beautiful butterfly, and the Lord has spoken this over your life already, that you're like this butterfly. And that you're very fragile, but at the same time that there's a strength in the beauty of, it's like he's giving you all sorts of different gifts. And sometimes people say, but you have all these different personalities, but it's simply just these different gifts that the Lord has given you. But lately it feels to you like you, like in that cocoon phase, you almost regressing. You're going back to the moth phase, almost like you taking a few steps back, and the colors are dimming, and you feel like all dry and shriveled up, and feels like your wings are so dry, and as if you've just lost the joy, you've just lost that effervescence, you know, that fizzle inside of you. And let's believe the Lord is confirming to you and saying to you, still this butterfly. And he's just breathing upon you, and as he breathes upon you, I just see him just blowing off this, like the ashes, lots of ashes. And believes the ashes of people's words that have just come to fall upon you, and they've made these beautiful radiant wings all gray. But the Lord is just blowing upon you through the wind of his spirit tonight, and blowing all of that stuff away. Say, so you're free to dance. You're free to be the radiant, beautiful butterfly that he has created you to be. To be the inspiration. I sense there's a calling of inspiration upon your life. And there's a temptation to withdraw into the shadows because you feel disqualified, and you feel as if things have happened in your life and they've been a little bit out of your control, but you feel responsible. And you're withdrawing into the shadows, and the Lord says he has not created you to live in the shadows, but he has created you to be his masterpiece, man, to be his showcase for the world. And he's wanting you just relax in his love tonight, and just have him, just open up your hands, your arms to him, and just have him just lavish his love upon you. So we thank you, Jesus, that you've come. You paid the price for us, Lord. We just affirm this and confirm this, Lord, through the song in Jesus' name. Lord God, we thank you that we can come to you, Lord. And God, just, Lord, just claim, Lord, the truth of the song. God, you came to die for us. You came to die for me, Jesus. Before I am a husband or a dad or a pastor or things that I do, God, you came to die for me as Heinrich, Lord. And I thank you for the freedom, Jesus, that you brought into my life. I thank you for the sufficiency of your cross for my life. And I thank you, God, that the sufficiency of your cross, Lord, is enough for me and mine. There are two guys here specifically, and you are so weighed down by responsibility. It's like you're walking with this kitty with all of these, like the burdens that you're carrying is even much, like two stories high, for all these responsibilities that you have upon yourself, for your wife, and I believe for the kids you still want to have. And you're a mighty man, but you're weighed down by these things. And the Lord just wants you to come and lay them down at his feet. It says that, when was the last time you just spoke to me about you, and not about the dreams, and not about the breakthroughs, and not about all the stuff that need to change, but just you and me, just the two of us. And the Lord was wanting to look you in the eye tonight, and he's wanting to take you by the hand and say to you, you're still my mighty man. You are still my mighty man. You are still my mighty man. You are still the clay that I formed. You are still the one into whom I've breathed my life. You are still the one in whom I put my spirit. You are still my man. You are still my man.